Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 13 minutes after 9 o'clock, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Hey, it's the Roundtable panel for a Wednesday morning. Joining us today, our friend and consultant and lobbyist, Libby Post, is here. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Ray.
Also, the star of the show, University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, Rosemary Armeo.
Absolutely.
He's calling me a star because Alan and I were arguing before the show.
I didn't know that.
No, we all agree that you are the star of the show.
How's fame treating you? Do you want to be alone yet?
No, I want hordes.
Fair enough.
Yelling yay.
Do people come up to in the street and say, I know that voice?
They do it all the time, actually. That's not joking. It's very kind of eerie.
And here's another famous familiar voice. Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here, and you want to be alone, clearly.
No, life is hard.
You know, if I'm a little slow on the uptake today, it's because I was up to 1:30 watching
the game.
One of the greatest World Series games I have ever seen last night.
It was very close and heartbreaking, huh?
Yeah. No, you know.
For you?
Well, it was heartbreaking because they didn't win, but it was a great game.
I'm with you, Libby. And it so really it ended right about the time Alan wakes up at 1:30 in the morning.
That is when I wake up.
Yeah. Okay. So the game was 5 hours. It was the longest game won in World Series history. And
there was another major thing that happened.
So the game starts. Yeah. Matt Harvey, the Mets go down in order in the first, and that's the top of the first. And then the Royals, who are the home team, come up. First pitch Matt Harvey of the Mets throws is a fastball down the middle. And all the scouting reports say don't throw fastballs, especially on the first pitch to these guys. So the Kansas City player, leadoff hitter, hits a bomb to the left center field gap.
And that is one big stadium.
Yeah, it's about the same dimensions as Citi Field.
So it's really something.
So the center fielder for the Mets and the left fielder for the Mets converge on the ball. Neither one either calls it, and it drops. It's an inside-the-park home run. Now, it's the first time there has been a leadoff inside the park home run since 1903 in the World Series.
How come they're so rare? Is it the fact that that if they're out of they hit them out of the park, then of course it's a home run. But it would seem to me that when I played ball in my youth, there were inside the park home runs all the time.
Well, the thing is,
it's called Little League.
Well, it's not even Little League. It's called Sandlot.
But the thing is, in the old days, it was the dead ball era. So guys weren't hitting it out of the park, but the ball, once it hit the ground, it just sort of died. And so there were a lot of inside the park and expansive parks. Anyway, there were a lot of other firsts in that game. And if the Mets don't win tonight, they're toast. That's the bottom line.
I don't know about that, but we'll
they need to win tonight.
They do need to win tonight for momentum, but then they go back. They come back to New York. That it's always good for them to be in New York, and then hopefully we can make this work.
Well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, it was a classic game and a really well matched game.
This makes me want to watch it.
Well,
I usually just listen to these accounts, which I find very interesting.
Rosemary,
I'm so bored watching it.
Some people get really bored. Kids in general get really bored watching baseball. But there are moments when it's every pitch counts, and it's compelling, and it's dramatic, and it's theater.
And it's poetry.
It is poetry.
It's poetry in motion.
When it all happens. It's
just amazing. Sometimes when people make a play, it's just an amazing thing to watch.
It was great.
There's a debate on tonight, so that's not going to happen.
I'll be watching the baseball game. I'm wearing my Mets blue vest.
Good for you. Or it's also the same exact shade that the Royals use, which is very strange.
It is.
Did you know that? They use the same strain of royal blue. Anyway, the email address to complain about all the sports talk is roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org. Started out like this. Dear WAMC, with all the important things going in the world, how dare you talk about sport? And Alan will read it. It'll be fun. It's going to be a busy day for House Republicans, hoping to calm the internal chaos ahead of the 2016 presidential campaign. They got a vote scheduled on the 2-year bipartisan budget truce, and the GOP is set to nominate Paul Ryan as the chamber's new speaker. Democratic and Republican leaders in the House and Senate are urging lawmakers to back the budget deal, which would resolve fights over defense and domestic spending and federal borrowing until early 2017. CNN reporting this morning that Ryan says he will back the budget deal.
Well, talk about ingrates.
What do you mean?
Well,
which ones?
Ryan's an ingrate.
You think about it. Boehner, on his way out the door, says, I'm going to clean out the barn. He cleans out the barn, and he does Ryan's dirty work for him so that Ryan doesn't immediately get into trouble with his right-wing compatriots, you know, in his group. So he gets all kinds of... Boehner thinks he's done a good thing. And Ryan, for his part, says... I don't like the way it was done.
Yeah, I don't.
It's the holding the nose.
The process thing. No, exactly.
I see it differently. The deal they came out with is practically the same deal Ryan came up with himself right. 2 years
Which,
ago.
Which, by the way, was also negotiated in the same secret way.
That's right.
Negotiated exactly the same way. And what he is doing is the same thing Iran did when it said, oh, we don't like this deal, this nuclear deal, and then passed it. That's what Ryan is doing.
I think we're on the same. I'm sorry, Rosemary. I hate to disillusion you, but I haven't. I think we're on the same page here.
I think he's doing this by agreement and concord with Boehner.
He is.
But he's scoring points.
But he also wants to
the Freedom Caucus.
climb on Boehner's shoulders, which is why I say he's an ingrate.
I think he wants to step
Boehner
on his
is
head,
saying,
actually.
Step on top of me. This is why I'm doing
okay.
it.
Okay. And there may have been some discussion of this prior to him putting his hat in the ring
right.
because the conservatives
right.
are saying, according to the New York Times or the Washington Post, I should say, conservatives are giving him a pass. Ken Buck of Colorado, conservative freshman, says this is John Boehner's deal. So
sure.
they're giving Ryan
Boehner
a pass
knows,
on
Boehner
this.
Knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, no, but Rosemary, in all honesty, you know, I don't disagree with one thing you've just said. I
mean, oh, come
you
on,
said
Alan.
He's an ingrate. That's completely
no,
different.
No, he is an ingrate in that all he has to do is shut up and say thank you very much.
As the Speaker of the House incoming, he may not just shut up on the biggest budget deal they've reached in the Obama administration.
Oh, so you think he was correct to say you think
no? All about pandering to the Freedom
course,
Caucus
exactly.
so that he gets their votes, and it looks like a unanimous decision to crown him Speaker. That's all this is. He knows who he's talking to. He knows who he's pandering to. It's a done deal. It was a done deal 2 weeks ago, and so they're just moving forward.
It would appear to be a fairly substantial victory for the Democrats and for President Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Washington Post, that is, there are a few controversial measures, such as reductions in crop insurance payments and the repeal of an Obamacare provision that requires large companies to automatically enroll full-time employees in a health plan.
That I don't understand.
Yeah.
That I don't get. Because
what part of it?
Well, the idea that you no longer have to automatically enroll, that's the core of the Affordable Care Act, that you have to provide health insurance.
I don't think it means you get out of it. It's just it's an automatic thing that you're put on.
Wait 30 days?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So there's some money. There's
like
some savings of money, but it's not a horrible thing.
Okay. Like those of us in the private sector tend to do.
Exactly. And the Medicare cuts, you know, that sounded so scary. They're really cuts in payments to providers.
Yeah.
That's okay with me.
Well, it hurts the providers. And we've had many doctors complain about it.
And then they could drop out, which would be bad.
Which
but that
they
hasn't
do.
Happened so far.
Yeah, they do.
Which
yeah, they do.
I
know.
I went to a guy for my back at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York. And in the middle of dealing with this guy, he decided he wasn't taking Medicare patients anymore.
Yeah.
Hmm. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll take a short break and be back with the panel, don't you know.
Support for WAMC comes from Alarms of Berkshire County, offering full-service residential and commercial security and life safety monitored systems based on individual or corporate needs for nearly 35 years. AlarmsofBerkshireCounty.com. Homebrew Emporium, New Rochelle and North Greenbush, New York, West Boylston and Boston, Massachusetts, providing beer and winemaking equipment and supplies from beginners to professionals. And the Opelka Gallery at the Sage Colleges, now hosting From Concept to Console, Art and Aesthetics in Video Game Design, and Related Films and Events, sage.edu/opelka.
Welcome back to the Roundtable panel on WAMC. We've had a robust discussion right during the break here. It's 9:22. It's a Wednesday. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, joined today by Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, the star of the show, Libby Post also here.
What am I, chop liver?
Well, no, you know what? You're the quiet star of the show.
Oh, thank you.
You know,
so
you're
much.
You're very understated.
Still waters run deep, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay,
exactly. The Republican candidates for president are gathering for their third debate amid fresh volatility in an already chaotic race. Retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson surging past Donald Trump in Iowa, and one-time frontrunner Jeb Bush faces pressure to prove he's still a viable candidate for the GOP nomination. Carson has been a low-key presence in the previous GOP debates, but he's likely to get more attention in tonight's debate after a series of preference polls show him atop the field in Iowa. Trump has shown he's eager to take on Carson, jabbing him for his understated style and raising questions about his faith. Meanwhile, Bush will be grasping for momentum after one of the most trying stretches of his White House campaign. There's a great article in the Washington Post. The headline is, "Why aren't the GOP's presidential stragglers dropping out of the race?" And
I told you why.
Well, you don't. Please do.
Well, no,
you've told us, but now tell everyone else.
Here's what I think is going to happen. These two guys, and I've said it before, are unacceptable to the moderate rank and file of the Republican Party. And so what's going to happen is that it's going to go into it's going to end up going into the convention, and it's going to be a brokered convention getting a more, you know, stable type of Republican.
Who would that be, Kasich?
It could be Kasich. It could be Jeb. Yeah. It couldn't be George Pataki, but
he could be vice president.
He could be vice
president. I think that's exactly what he's angling for.
Whatever he's angling for, I don't think it's going to happen, because based on his 1%, that he's got less than 1%, it doesn't show that he's going to bring a lot with him.
Well,
and New York is not in play anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, look at the numbers for all of them except Carson and Trump. They're all single digits, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so, I think it's a valid question. Are you ultimately doing a disservice to your party's chances if you have 15 people on a stage when nobody's got any traction?
Do you think they give a rat's behind about whether they're doing a disservice to the party?
Yeah.
They care about themselves.
The article you refer to talked to the former governor, how do you say his name, Paolenti, who dropped out early, and many think prematurely. And I thought that was instructive. He said, you know, you put 2 years at least, 2 years we don't see into an effort to become president. And you need to stick with it. This is something that these men and a woman really want. And so they owe it to themselves, really, to keep trying. And they have the money in this cycle, thanks to Citizens United. Thank you, ridiculous Robert Supreme Court. So they have money to do it now. They can pay for to continue. There's no skin off their bones not to. And they get a prime slot. They will again tonight.
Unless you're at the little
television.
Kids table.
Right.
Well, even they get it. You know, that's still a national audience, right? They're still getting a lot of attention to themselves and to their ideas. There is no incentive to get out anymore as there used to be.
Well...
Oh boy! Here we go.
You know, I mean, it's you sound right. You know about this. About they owe it to themselves.
Right, talk about damn with things.
Yeah, how about that?
They owe it to themselves. Yeah. Look. Let's try to keep it, you know, conceptual as opposed to you know,
visceral.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm not going to punch him. That means.
Okay. Oh, please do.
Boy, this is getting. I mean, it's been a rough day already, and now.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds like we sound like Republicans debating, Alan.
Excuse
we got to get better.
Yeah. Excuse Libby once more.
No. Here's the deal. All these people are not good for the party, and which is fine with me. Anything that damages the Republican Party is just okay with me, so I'm not too worried about it. It's not good, just like what the Democrats used to have. We used to have a million people in a primary, and we'd destroy each other and not be able to win. So that's the Republicans are now in the same boat. Yes, Citizens United is providing money, but Jeb Bush doesn't have the money to keep his staff on. I mean, there's only so much money to go around right now in a primary season. And so this is damaging to the party, and it does damage their chances of being able to elect somebody in November.
What do you think their chances are of electing somebody in November?
40%.
Depends on who it is.
40%, you think?
Yeah.
Well, 40% doesn't win.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's a lot of people in this country who don't want a Democrat, any Democrat, in the same way that some of us on this panel don't want a Republican, any Republican.
But you have John Kasich, who is not going to be palatable to the far right.
Right.
Okay. You've got Jeb Bush, who might be palatable to some of the far right, but not all of the far right. You know, so you have two people who are weak. you've got Marco Rubio, and that's
Everybody's talking about Marco Rubio and being the candidate.
Yeah. Awful.
And that would be awful, but it would it would split.
Ray wanted to know why it would be awful.
Yeah, just for those who.
Why is it awful? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's just not a very effective legislator. He's not an effective anything.
He wants to quit the Senate because he doesn't like it. So, my God.
I didn't get my way really fast.
Being the president is a hard job.
By the way, he didn't say, I want to quit the Senate. He says, I don't like the, Senate.
But he has quit. He doesn't show up.
No, no, that's not quitting. Quitting is when you hand in your letter of resignation and say, I quit.
Okay, so he's going to the end of his term, not running again, and not really participating while he's in.
Well,
so we're talking semantics.
Look, we're not really talking semantics, I don't think. He's running for president. He doesn't show up like a lot of other people who are senators. It's always a big problem that they have. He doesn't show up. Somebody is pointing a finger at him and saying, hey, don't you have this job that the taxpayers are paying you for? And he says, nah, I don't like it anymore. It's lousy. It's a lousy place. And the right thing to do, in my opinion, would be quit.
Absolutely.
Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. If you have any questions for our panel of left-wing ideologues, Alan Chartok, Libby Post, and Rosemary Armeo. One point that I thought was interesting in this Post article, getting to your point about the brokered convention, Alan, this is a quote. The persistence of Carson and Trump works to the stragglers, all those who are sticking around, to the stragglers' benefit as proof that the political class has no idea what's going to happen in 2016.
Well, it could be. I mean, I think if there's one thing that's been proven in this election, that Bernie, Sheila Byrne, is not a traditional politician. He's an outsider, even though there'll be people who say, well, no, he's in the Senate, so he's an insider, but he's not. Mm-hmm. And we see that as Hillary pulls away from him in the polls now, but remembering that there's a year to go, one way or the other, there's a year to go. And if I know Bernie the way I think I do, he's already achieved something in that Hillary has moved to the left in terms of her rhetoric. But I think that this, as Libby indicates, this is great news for the Democrats. The more this, the better. If the best they can do is Dr. Carson alienating everybody with absolutely no abortion under any circumstances, including incest or rape, that is terrible.
All right, we got to take a break here. The email address, once again, is roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll break for a brief spot of news from the BBC, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It is 9:33. It is a Wednesday morning, kind of gray, some sprinkles out there if you're scoring at home. Ray Graff is in for Joe Donahue, Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok here, and the email address is roundtable at WAMC.org. And I understand, Uncle Alan, that we have some mail.
We do. Let me just say, remember the rules, everybody. The shorter, the better.
And 140 characters.
Yeah, and if you can be pithy.
Beg your pardon?
Better.
You can be pithy.
Oh,
in other words,
you
can
pithy
say,
and wise and with
and
colorful phrases.
That's a th.
I got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In there. Okay. Let's see.
Because we get a lot of the other too.
Yeah. So Tom says Rubio's no better than Palin when it comes to quitting, and Ben Carson is a surgical savant, good at cutting into brains, lousy at dealing with people in general. In my humble opinion, of course, and that's from Tom.
Okay, that was a good one.
You see, there's a good example of
a surgeon savant. And colorful phrases.
Right. Right. Okay. And Bernard says, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Could you please explain what you mean when you say brokered convention? Thank you. Okay.
Alan, could you explain what you mean by brokered convention?
Okay. Well, we used to have them all the time in the 40s. We don't have them much anymore because the primaries, if you have a clear winner in the primary so that they get 50 or 60%, it's almost impossible to deny to them their rights to run. However, if you get one guy who gets 20% and another guy who gets 23%, and it holds all the way to the convention, that leaves a lot of other delegates, some of whom are, quote, uncommitted, who are elected one way or the other that allow them to express their own views. And for the good of the party, as we've been batting around here, they stand up and they say, let's elect Kasich because he's more moderate and he can beat Hillary, and therefore that's what a brokered convention is. Brokered convention means you don't necessarily give to Trump if he gets 31% the designation.
Given the state of flux of all of this, is there any way that you can make a reasonable prediction of who will emerge from this for the general?
I don't think so.
Is there a chance that there's an outsider
Yes.
who will come in?
Yes.
Who would that
An outsider in the Republican convention? Yeah. You don't have enough outsiders? You don't have enough insiders in
But I think shiny.
No. Would you say
somebody new and shiny?
Sarah Palin. She's waiting in the wings.
Shiny.
Yeah.
So,
shiny.
we could go on that, but
yes,
I'm not
going. I'm glad you
tiny.
Won't.
Tiny.
Yes.
But we're not going there.
Fine.
Okay. So, no, but you know, that's what a brokered convention can be all about. And you can find somebody who can be a stalwart, who can, you know, who can run and attract votes. And that could happen. But I can't think of anybody right now. But I can tell you that the cast of characters that are up there right now ain't too hot. And I think everybody knows it. Okay. Cody says, good morning, panel. American politics is quite a sad state of affairs. When passing a rote budget deal is lauded as a grand achievement, I don't see the stagnation in Washington changing until compromise isn't said as a four-letter word by the extreme right. That's Cody from
Green. And extreme left.
We talked about that yesterday, too, that, you know, they're crowing about what's just used to be ordinary, used to be daily business.
Right. It used to be bipartisanship.
Right.
So here's too long a letter, but I'll read the first couple sentences,
right.
And then somebody will write to Rosemary and say, hey, Rosemary, he's censoring my letter.
Well, I think this is sort of the rule of action in news wire reports.
Yeah.
Get the gist right away, and then if we want to continue on for more background, we continue on.
Gray, not everyone is trained, much as I would like to think that they could be in journalistic writing.
But just give us the first three.
Build up to it.
Yeah, okay.
We want the lead.
Okay. So why did the video phones come out only when police arrived? What about the missing part of the story that we do not see but should be included
about
to make
the beating.
Yes, a complete
and we're
fairly
to that
reported
in a moment.
Story.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. We're going to get to that in a moment.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah,
right
to talk about that.
Pithy stage. Okay, Ted says, extra espresso, Alan. extra espresso shot this morning.
Actually, Alan's been very down, and I thought he was not feeling well this morning, so you must be putting a big effort into this.
I am.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question?
What's the matter?
Look a little pale.
I'm working hard.
Okay.
But let me ask you guys a question. When espresso.
Espresso.
I've heard people say espresso.
It's S.
Espresso. This has espresso.
Well
it's a small error.
Wrong.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. It's espresso.
It's just a typo.
Espresso.
The 3 train on the IRT line.
That's the espresso.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
I love it.
That's the espresso train.
Oh, boy.
You've lost control of this program.
I don't even care anymore, so just continue.
Okay. Dan says, something short. I believe the great mathematician Carl Friedrich Gauss once said, it takes a long time to write something short.
It's true. It's much harder to write short than long.
I like it. And you're a teacher of that stuff, so you know.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Students who are really BSing and have no idea write the longest papers. Yeah.
Okay. And
can you say BSing on the radio,
yeah,
I guess?
You just did.
I did. I know. You didn't hit the shut up
button. The panic button?
Yeah.
No. If there was a shut up button, I may have hit it a long time ago.
And Michael says, Jeb! Exclamation point. Please don't underestimate or make the mistake of counting out a Bush. They have a way of winning. I see. That's
all
very
right.
clever.
Good point.
Okay.
Very clever. P. Solway, I agree the video looks harsh, but...
Yeah, we're going to get to
that
in a moment.
Save that so it'll make more sense.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, that's...
Okay, cue us up.
Okay.
Thanks, Rosemary.
Okay, and Daisy says, Alan, the Republican Party is simply a lot more conservative than it used to be. There will be no brokered convention, what I think, after this presidential election when they lose. Talk of a third, more moderate party. Could be. That's the way we get third parties.
Yeah.
And third party ideas, you know, often tend to be adopted by both of the other parties.
It'll be an interesting thing to see what they call themselves.
The Whigs,
no
doubt.
Right. Federalists.
All right. The email address, roundtable@wamc.org. A South Carolina sheriff's deputy who flipped a student backward in her desk and tossed her across the floor for refusing to leave math class could learn as soon as today whether he will be fired. Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott said once his agency's internal investigation is completed, he will make a decision about whether to keep Senior Deputy Ben Fields on the force. The videos of the confrontation between a white officer and a black girl stirred such outrage that Lott called the FBI and Justice Department for help. A criminal investigation is underway, but the probe generally takes more time in that case. The lawyer for the teen, who was tossed across the room, says his client was injured in the incident. Todd Rutherford told ABC's Good Morning America today that the teen has a cast on her arm and suffered a neck and back injury in the confrontation at Spring Valley High School in Columbia on Monday. Rutherford also said the girl suffered a rug burn on her forehead. Sheriff Leon Lott had said that the girl may have had a rug burn but otherwise was not injured. Ladd is considering whether to fire Fields, and Rutherford said his client may have struck Fields as she reacted to being grabbed by the neck.
Jeez.
So, so many issues to go, and we'll just go from left to right. Libby.
When I was in school, if a teacher dared to put a hand on a kid, that was their job. They were fired. This reaction by this cop was so over the top. He could have killed this girl. The way he knocked her backwards within desk seats we used to sit on, she could have broken her neck. I mean, it was so irresponsible. Here's a man who's given the responsibility of, yes, being an officer in the school, the resource officer in the school, setting an example that you don't want to set. Somebody talks back to you, somebody doesn't listen to you, so you're gonna beat the living daylights out of them. It was insane.
And what would have happened to Lib if there was no kid brave enough in the room to take the picture?
It would happen again today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
Here's the thing that I take away from it. I'm happy the Justice Department has decided to come and investigate this. I agree with everything Libby said. I think the school officials ought to be investigated too. Did you see the teacher in that video?
Yeah, right.
He stands there doing nothing. And here, I mean, all of you have faced classes before. I agree. There is nothing, with the exception of teenage boys, so obnoxious as a teenage girl. So she's sitting there in a math class on her cell phone. The teacher's enraged by this. And his response is to call in an administrator who then calls in a big, giant cop,
right,
armed cop. What is with that?
Well,
that is bad teaching.
They should have removed the student from the class.
But, well, that
they
way,
did.
That's
that
what he was doing.
No, the teacher should have said, get out.
No, she wouldn't get out, I believe.
That's what caused it. She wouldn't. But that's your next resort, is you call in a cop to drag her out by the hair?
So there are racist overtones to this, although I have to tell you that when I was in elementary school, we had a cut-up in our class. His name was Benny, I'll tell you that much. His name was Benny, and we had a really rough math teacher who grabbed Benny by the hair and threw him against the blackboard.
Awful.
They could get away with it
when
you were in school.
Yeah.
They couldn't get away with it when we were in school.
No, you're right.
We had a sixth grade teacher who took a kid and hung him out a window, an upper-story window, by the foot. Yeah.
Did you go to Catholic school?
No, this was a public school.
Wow.
And, years later, I'm friends
Shaker?
Now with the principal. No. Years later, I'm friends with the principal. I said, did you know that happened? He goes, no, I didn't.
Well,
it wasn't even reported to the
administration. Convenience story.
Yeah. But it was terrible, Ray. I mean, anybody who saw
awful.
That video just knows
okay.
this was over the top.
It was over the top. And we haven't seen I guess there's not video of what led up to that.
You're right.
But there's no
we have a letter on that.
Necessarily
and
justifying.
We
what,
don't.
However, I would say it's premature to say there were racist overtones.
I didn't say there were racist overtones.
You did.
No,
you
I
did.
Said. No, the reason I was telling that story is that the white kid named Benny had the same treatment. I say there may have been racist overtones to this. After all, it was a white cop, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's premature, and I think that his boss's defense, well, he's got a black girlfriend, so he's not racist.
Yeah, that
is
was
as thin
some
as
of my best. Some
yeah,
of his best friends
are black.
Yeah.
So you know that's
the,
about
the
as
racist
thin as
overtones
gets.
Also have to do with discipline at that school.
Yeah.
It's a minority black school, but the percentage of disciplinary actions is just like overwhelmingly
right.
against black kids, not white. That's
and
some
the
of
the
racist.
Suspense.
And I would say, Ray, that while we don't have video to the lead up, I will grant you, I will just stipulate that she was a little brat.
Right.
I can just see it. We also don't have video of what happened afterwards.
Right.
There are kids saying that they objected, and he was saying to them, you know, shut up or
yeah.
you'll be next.
Yeah.
You want to go too? And they did, in fact, charge another kid who did nothing more than object to his behavior.
So you guys have taught, I don't know if you have, Libby, but what do you do in the case of if you're a teacher and you know you cannot strike a student in any way,
right.
but a student is now completely will not listen to you, will not get up, will not leave the room, what exactly
you
do you
must
have
be
to
the
do?
Grown up.
What
this,
do you do,
this
though?
Teacher
How do you
ceded
handle
control
it?
To that child. If I were faced with that,
yeah.
I would have let her continue, and then I would have dealt with it later.
Oh, okay.
You don't do it in front of the other kids. I mean, that teacher was a male, I believe, who was standing there just doing nothing, unbelievably.
Well, once the policeman's in there with
that's the whole thing. I can't believe that you have a 16-year-old child who everyone says was not a troublemaker. She's not very large. And you gave her all that power by calling in two. There were three adults in that room.
Yeah.
And they couldn't control.
Yeah.
Control. That's a horrible thing to want to do to a 16-year-old child. I would have just let her keep talking on the phone and just said, that's unacceptable, and then continued the class and dealt with it.
Well, okay, based on the level of violence, you got to assume this guy's out of a job today.
He should be. He shouldn't be in a school.
Maybe not. We'll see.
So, yeah. So Rosemary, in all your years of teaching, and I taught for over 40 years, the question is, have you ever had anything like that happen in a classroom?
Yeah, students acting defiantly.
Yeah, well,
you know,
sure.
Like, I had a class of 113, and you can't be in charge of all that they're doing. And I would just say, okay, I don't know what they're doing over there. They're not listening. I'm going to just go on as if they're not there. I hope the rest of you can still hear.
Yeah.
And the kids kind of police, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I hope the school is looking at that teacher. There was some breakdown in discipline that happened long before that child pulled out a cell phone and began talking in the middle of a math class, an algebra class.
You see, I think it's on the on the police officer. Because here's what. People have characters. I've seen police officers, I'm not going to bring anybody to light right here, but whose record in terms of reckless behavior was once described to me by a town manager as being as from his fingers to his elbow. Hmm. And that is the way some – that's their character. That's what they do. So you look at somebody like that and you say, you just blew it. You didn't handle it correctly.
It's confusing because other kids in the school, that's in the article we all looked at, said, you know, we've never seen him be super aggressive.
Right. Yeah.
There's no problems with him.
But there has been other incidences and other reports.
Twice,
you know,
with him he's been called in for
inappropriate. And he's the football coach, and so, you know, the assistant coach, so he's a good guy. He helps us win the games. I mean, there's all of this competing affinity going on.
Well,
because
Mussolini had a lot of fans.
Yeah, right.
Well, listen, let's not compare it to Mussolini. I mean,
no, I'm just telling you, authoritarianism often has people who like it.
Yeah. Well, Hitler had a lot of fans.
They have fans of it. Yeah. I mean, I have to say, I was really shocked when I realized that child was a girl. There's a gender issue here too. Somehow, if it were a boy, a teenage boy, it's not as bad as this big burly cop thrown around a girl.
I don't know that you're right about that. I mean, you're right about.
I'm not sure if I'm right. I just felt it.
Yeah, yeah. You're right about the girl thing. No question that it's horrible. But think about the impression that it's going to be on that kid's mind for the rest of her life.
And every other kid who watched it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that the way you teach respect for authority? I don't think so.
Right.
Well, it doesn't look good. I do think we have to make sure that we know all the facts and revisit this perhaps tomorrow.
Hey, Ray, how fast would it take you with your five wonderful children to get down to that school
raised
their hand?
Wholeheartedly.
No,
I'm just saying it doesn't look good, but there's much more
there's
we
a
need to know.
And I wonder
you know what?
The
even
bandages.
If the girl talked back to the cop, even if she laid a hand on him.
You can't
him,
do
right.
that. No, I agree.
His behavior was unacceptable. It's
agreed.
Unprofessional.
Yeah.
He should never have done what he did.
Yeah.
I don't care. He's a big man with a gun. So a girl hits you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Allegedly hit him after he had already grabbed her and started dragging her.
Well, punching.
That's why I say, let's get all the facts in this. But that, you know.
So Michael says, class dismissed. Remove the audience. Deal with it later.
Exactly. Sure. That's what this is great. I would love to hear from listeners who have been or are teachers.
And Patrick says, with behavior like that, why shouldn't that officer be drug tested? Steroids, perhaps? Mm. Bonnie says, she's back to the other stuff. Let's see here. Okay, Jacob says, I'm trying to read only
why don't you parse those, and then we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back to the letters.
Okay.
All right, it's the Roundtable on WAMC, and the email address, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Proctors, presenting C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, the live theatrical comedy about the struggle between good and evil, October 29th, proctors.org for tickets. Barry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BarryPriceArchitecture.com. And Jenkinstown Motors, New Paltz, a repair shop for domestic and foreign autos and specializing in Japanese cars for over 30 years. JenkinstownMotors.com.
Thank you.
roundtable at WAMC.org. It is the roundtable panel. Libby Post is here. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, Ray Graff here in for Joe Donahue. It's about 9 minutes before 10 o'clock, and I think we have some more email, Alan.
Okay. Alan and Rosemary, here's a point I was thinking of as I said it. You can't compare your experience as college-university teachers with teaching high school, though there may be some similarities. Secondary education classroom management discipline is a distinct experience from the college classroom. I'm going to accept that.
I think
that's right. And then Cody says, why is physical force being used against someone who is not physically assaulting anyone anymore? What is deadly force being used against unarmed citizens? Law enforcement is supposed to protect and keep order. This official did neither. Okay. And Dan says, whatever happened to people doing what law enforcement officers say? So many of the recent, quote, problems are a result of not following orders. If you think what is being ordered is wrong, sort it out after the fact. The girl in question didn't do as requested and suffered the consequences. Plain and simple. Oh, brother.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I got a problem with that. How is it right to let one brat disrupt the rest of the class? One needs to take responsibility for their own actions, or in this case, inaction, in the case of the student. Well, because there are parameters within which you have to act.
Okay. This is a great letter coming up.
Okay.
and Dan says, after 23 years of teaching math, I can't remember a student refusing to leave math class.
Well played.
And Patrick says, regarding my story about Benny, whose head was pushed against the thing, was Benny traumatized in later life? I think he was well on his way, to be honest with you, when he was there. And Anne says, I don't believe Ray thinks the cops' actions were acceptable, but since he's saying, let's wait until we have all the facts, I'm just wondering if he believes there are any circumstances in which his response would be reasonable.
Absolutely
and
not.
So what would those be?
That's a good question. What could have justified
a gun?
That?
Nothing. No. I guess a weapon. But
a weapon.
Nothing. But
brandishing a weapon.
Yeah.
Still, I want the backstory of this. Yeah. I do. But there's no way you can just... I mean, the kid was sitting down.
Right.
You know?
And he could have broken her neck.
And Victoria says, officer slamming student, gender. In response to Rosemary, I have a very sweet 5'10 and 150-pound son who, if an officer treated him that manner, I would be off the rails if someone thought it was not as bad because he's male. It is unacceptable.
No, I thought I made that clear, Victoria. It is unacceptable. But my reaction was increased shock when I realized that was a woman. It just felt, you know,
very
you
sexist,
can't, you
Rosemary.
Can't.
Very
I don't know. I know. I guess I have sexist emotions. I'm
just
sorry.
And Richard says, when will students be required to share in the responsibility of receiving an education? We overfocus on the teacher and cop behavior while excusing the student's behavior. What about the other students who lost a day of learning because of one selfish person?
I don't think we're excusing it, but definitely the adults have more responsibility than children in this situation. We run the institutions, not they.
Right. Okay. Heather says, hello, folks. I don't think...
Hello.
That school resource officer had any training for dealing with the specific population. There's a specific reason why they're in the school, and handling a classroom is much different than being on the street. Well, if they've chosen him to be the resource officer, and if he's been there for a while, and my sense of it is he would have had to have some training in what he's doing.
One would hope.
And experience.
Yeah. Right. Bob says, never address a volatile situation in front of the students' classmates. Either get the student out of class by asking politely for the student to step in the hall with you, or drop the matter and address it after class. I learned this my first year teaching, and it's always worked.
I mean, this works with adults when you're managing, too. You don't get into a shouting match with a subordinate in front of everybody in the office. You just stop that.
And Ken says, good morning, panel.
Hi, good morning.
I just want to know why the heck cell phones are being used in classrooms.
Shouldn't be.
Yeah. That's one of the things we don't know. Is there
a rule
against
it? My kids' middle school, they're not allowed.
Yeah.
I mean, they have them, but they can't turn, they have to leave them in the locker until they're done, allegedly.
And Raymond Esquire.
Hello.
Esquire.
Okay.
I'm not justifying what the officer did, and I agree with the comments that the class should have been dismissed or that she should have been left alone until after class. Okay.
Okay.
That's like that. Well, there's a lot more letters, but they're on different things.
Okay. All right. Well, so we have 3 minutes left here. Yeah. So Rosemary's Choice. I love playing this game. IRS impeachment or China?
No, the impeachment. That's very bizarre.
Republican chairman of a powerful House committee has moved to impeach the head of the Internal Revenue Service. Utah Representative Jason Chaffetz charges that IRS Commissioner Josh Koskinen has violated the public trust and obstructed congressional investigations into the treatment of conservative groups. An impeachment resolution has been forwarded to the House Judiciary Committee. Morton Kondracki.
Ain't gonna happen, period.
Okay. Eleanor Clift.
I like her. She's smart.
I wonder who I'm going to be.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think I would be more open to looking at these charges if it had not been brought by this Chaffetz guy who just made a fool of himself in the Planned Parenthood interrogation.
Well, here's what he said. And this is, I want to see who said this.
He's the guy from Nevada.
Trying to see which Republican said this. Okay, this is from Chaffetz. Commissioner Koskinen violated the public trust. He failed to comply with a congressionally issued subpoena. Documents were destroyed on his watch, and the public was consistently misled. Impeachment is the appropriate tool to restore public confidence in the IRS and protect the institutional interests of Congress.
One thing is for sure. Nobody likes the IRS.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the story seemed
like where's the facts? I'd like to know what documents he supposedly has destroyed.
Well, I think that's what we need to know,
this
right?
This is coming one day after the IRS head is cleared by actual real criminal investigators, not this blowhard from Nevada.
Yeah. Right. So,
Well, I guess if there is an impeachment or at least leading up to an impeachment, you're going to find out what documents allegedly were destroyed.
Right.
If there were any.
All right.
Yeah. More letters?
Do you have anything else?
More letters?
You have 47 seconds.
Okay,
to Brooke
says, dear roundtable members, we are talking about a teenager who was obstinate. That's what teenagers do. My white children would never be thrown into the ground violently for being obstinate. Not ever. More white people need to understand that this is racism, plain and simple and painful. We all need to change this. That's from Brooke. And Rose Rita.
Child abuse, too.
Says, that was full-out physical abuse, and the girl could have been killed. Nothing in capital letters justifies what he did in that situation. The officer clearly had a standard male brutality mentality of abusers. People who haven't deeply studied domestic violence figures in America don't realize how pervasive this kind of violence is against women and girls in our country. I bet the officer does the same thing to his girlfriend. I don't think that's fair.
Oh, that's not
we
fair.
Don't know that. Okay. And
well,
John,
let's just remember he's paid by tax dollars, so we're all paying for him.
Yeah.
Yep. More?
I guess.
Okay.
Give me 15 seconds.
John, societally, parents have relinquished discipline, at the same time legislated the emasculation of teachers, making a difficult job more difficult. Shame on us, from John.
Okay. Last one.
He should not only be fired, he should be arrested. If that is an assault and battery, what is?
All right. Well, this was a spirited conversation. I applaud the panel for fine work today, Libby, Rosemary, and Alan. I applaud you at home for emailing and joining in at roundtable@wamc.org. And believe it or not, this was only the precursor to what is going to be a splendid show.